as we near the end of Paul's life, we start seeing him having to preach and share with different officials. And yet he doesn't stop sharing the gospel. He still sees the power in the gospel. Well, Paul first appeared before Felix, the governor of Judea. And years earlier, another man had appeared before another governor of Judea. The governor's name was Pontius Pilate. And that accused person was the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Paul stood there before Felix, he certainly reflected on that event. As far as we know, he had not witnessed that terrible moment in history. He was a dedicated Pharisee. He's living in Tarsus, and he's propagating the law of Moses and all the codes that he had learned, the Pharisaical codes he had learned from Gamaliel. So at that time, he had no love whatsoever for the Galilean who claimed to be the Messiah. But now he's standing before Felix, and he's a devoted follower of the one that he had rejected. Paul's accusers came from Jerusalem and charged him with desecrating the temple. It was a lie. Paul made a noble defense, denying those charges, but openly admitted that he had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when it came to his personal faith, he would not compromise. Sensing there was no real evidence against Paul, but expecting Paul to bribe him, Felix delayed making a decision. He had probably heard about the enormous sums of money that Paul delivered to the Jewish elders and falsely assumed that he was some sort of wealthy religious fanatic. Consequently, he kept Paul under guard for 2 years, but gave him more freedom than the average prisoner. No doubt, part of that plan was to manipulate Paul for material gain. Now, in his heart, Felix knew that this man was innocent, just as Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. But, like Pilate, he was following the political pressure. In fact, even when Felix was replaced by Porcius Festus, he left Paul incarcerated in order to grant a favor to the Jews. Now, Festus was also partial to the Jews. Consequently, he asked Paul if he'd be willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before him there, no doubt before the Sanhedrin. Paul knew instantly that the deck would be stacked against him. Consequently, he once more used his rights as a Roman citizen, and this time he would appeal to Caesar. Paul may have also reasoned that he had already appeared before these men to present the gospel of Christ. They rejected his message, and they even plotted to kill him. And as every city Paul had gone, once rejected by the Jews, he would go to the Gentiles. Well, this had now happened in Jerusalem, and Paul's conscience was clear. He had testified for Christ at the very center of Judaism and before the most powerful Jewish leaders in the world. Before Paul was transported on his way to Rome, he had this opportunity to give another wonderful testimony, and this time before King Agrippa, while Festus listened in. Though Festus concluded that Paul was out of his mind because of his academic studies, Agrippa assessed the situation much more objectively. This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar, he concluded. Though things were not turning out as he had hoped, Paul knew in his heart he was in God's perfect will. Perhaps he reflected on the words he had already written to the Christians in Rome. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. So we can learn that living in God's good, acceptable, and perfect will doesn't guarantee freedom from environmental crises that cause physical pain and emotional struggles and spiritual battles. And we can allow God to use those things to teach us. Next time we get together will be our last time talking about this life of Paul. And so we look forward to that time together.